there is a rule which the Garnham suggested or gave us, that is, that malicha needs to be done within 72 hours after the animal has shechita. Otherwise, if not, the meat, excuse me, the blood will dry up, or in a way that the malicha will not be able to get it out of the meat. Now, there's no Gemara that says this, or no obvious Gemara. The Aruch HaShulchan tries to maybe find this, a makar to it, but there's no obvious Gemara about this din. And for that reason, the Shach says that there's lots of kulas, and you don't have to, you have to be machmir the cases where the Gaonim said it, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, but not more than really is said, and we don't have to be as so machmir about this then. And the second thing is that because there's no Gemara about it, there are lots of disagreements about even some of the basic details about how the din works, because it's, you know, we're trying to all guessing or Achronim are talking about how did this work or what should it be, and we'll see some examples of that. So one example is that there's a question: is this 72 hours fixed, or is there some way to maybe extend the 72 hours? Some return hold there's no way to extend it, and once 3 days are over, you can no longer do malicha to it. You can do tzliya, you can broil the meat, but you can't do malicha to it anymore as a way to get the blood out. But we paskin not like that. We paskin like the others who say that in fact there is a way if you soak the meat, which we'll talk about a little more later in this year, there's a way to soak it, to extend it, to get another 3 days out of it, to push, to not have to within the first 72 hours, but get another 72 hours after that. but because of this machlekes, Dharma in Teres Chatas says that because there's a machlekes, if you can even extend it, that Sivyefu says it's not lechatchila to try to extend it, and that you should try lechatchila to stick with the 72 hours, to have the malicha done within 72 hours after the shechita happened. That's how the Shach said. That's how the Teres Chatas says it. The Shach says it could be that the Teres Chatas himself is a little not sure that that's even such a minig, and the Shach says the Rama doesn't repeat it because, in fact, in some communities they consider it a complete lechatchila to do it. Now, that was an original reason why to only do this as a b'di'evid, but in more recent times, there was a new reason came up to why do this b'di'evid, to only do this as a b'di'evid, not as a lechatchila, and that's because there were a lot of people who were not, how can we say it, they were abusing this kula, and they were not really washing it properly. And we're going to talk about in a second what it means to, what you have to do to extend the time, but there were people who were basically just sprinkling a little water on the meat and not really doing the job that they were supposed to. And they were not, and really, it was, according to nobody, were they really successful at allowing it to go for more, 3 more days. So it became sort of accepted that we only do it as a b'di'evid. And I don't want to say everybody, but just about all hashgachas nowadays will not do this as a chatchila. They only do it in the b'di'evid. If something goes wrong, not the way it was supposed to, then they would soak the meat or to allow it to go another 3 days. That said, there are places, particularly specific items that are always planned that should be held for more than 3 days and they're going to soak it. Again, there's not an old house or excuses, but in certain places they do that. But by and large, that's not what happens. As an example of where you'd be stuck with this, is there was once a situation where meat had to be transported about 1,000 miles from where the shechita happened to where the malicha was going to happen, and there was a mess up in the delivery. And what happened was it got there when it was close to 72 hours, you know, with a couple hours just to spare. Now, had they paid attention, had they known this was going to happen, what they would have done is they would have marked down each animal what time it had shechita. So this one had shechita at 11 o'clock in the morning. They'd do its malicha by 11 o'clock in the other location. Because they didn't know, they sort of all got lumped into one big time, so they weren't really sure what to do. So they did was they soaked the meat so they had an extra 3 days and they for sure could do malicha on all of them. But again, that was a case where they were stuck, something went wrong, wasn't the way it was supposed to be, but most reputable hashgachas nowadays will not plan to have the meat go for more than 3 days. Now, there are two groups of exceptions, types of exceptions that people had to this rule, both of which are rejected by the poskim, or by most of the poskim. And the first is, one is the Aruch HaShulchan brings, and others say as well, the Aruch HaShulchan says that if meat is frozen solid, then it's not going to dry out. It's just like it doesn't become spoiled, doesn't smell bad, nothing happens to it physically, the meat doesn't get dried out either while it's sitting there in the frozen state. And therefore, if meat gets frozen before the 3 days are over, then it sort of stops the clock. And the 3 days that it takes of drying out the meat doesn't happen. And many others disagree that. Give some names. There's a Jew in the back of the Sefer Michas Yaakov, in the back of the Taras Chatas, which has Michas Yaakov on the bottom. So there's Jews from the Michas Yaakov, where he's Machmir, Prim Gunn is Machmir, and Dain Weiss, and Shev Levi. Ramosha himself, Ramosha speaks about him. He says logically, we should be Makel. By logic, it doesn't really make sense that it should dry out while it's frozen. But he says, since the other Achronim or Machmir, Lechatkhila person should be Machmir on that. And that's the general practice in most hashkachas, is that they will not, the meat will have to have malich within 3 days, even if it was frozen in the interim. There are ones who are not. There are ones, a more prominent example is the non-Mahadran rabban hashkachas will allow that. As long as the meat was frozen, that stops the clock, and the meat, the 72 hours doesn't count. But most of the meat that we would see, for sure here in America, on the reputable hashkacha, does not rely on that clue. Another is that there are people who have suggested that meat only dries out the blood within the meat only dries out when the meat is exposed to the atmosphere. But what happens if the meat is covered? Like, let's say it has a hide on it still, or let's say it has feathers on a bird, or let's say it's a bunch of pieces of meat piled on top of each other. So all the other ones aside from the top one are covered up. So there were those who thought that maybe that should be a reason that would prevent it from drying out, and that would stop. That also we wouldn't be affected by this 72-hour rule. In fact, there's a number of achronim, the Pesach Chuv brings all kinds of achronim speaking about. They're not talking about this specific shaila, but they're talking about what would happen when you do the washing or the rinsing to the meat when it's to the bird when it has a feather on it still. Can you do that? Can you? Again, those types of questions. Does it stop the water from penetrating? Does it go through, does not go through, and hides, and things like that. And the whole implication is that the fact that it has feathers on it, or the fact that it's covered over, it doesn't make a difference. If they talk about internal organs, when you only put water on the outside, making the point that it's not, that the fact that there's something protecting it or covering it up does not stop it from drying out. Yeah, I forgot to mention that Ramashi says, when I mentioned before about frozen, he says it's poshered that refrigerated meat is not a cooler. There's no cooler to say that meat should be mutter because you can have more than 72 hours just because the meat is refrigerated. The whole shaila was about frozen meat, not about refrigerated meat. Okay, so I mentioned that there's a way to extend the 72 hours, and the Beis Yosef, so again, there's no Gemara about this, how to do this. So the Beis Yosef brings from the Sefer Agur, who starts off by saying, if you pour water on the meat, then you get another, you have 72 hours more. It sort of moistens it up, and you have another 72 hours from now. But he says, but the Mahadran say that you need to submerge it or soak it in water for 2 hours in order for you able to get yourself another 72 hours. That's what it takes to soften it up. Now, the Dakimarsha brings Sefer Binyamin Zev, who's bringing him to show that he was one of those who held there is a way to extend the 72 hours. If you actually look at the Chulin Binyamin Zev, there it says you can do that by washing, you don't need to soak. Okay, that part is not brought in the Dakimarsha. Dakimarsha does bring from this Heter, who says that you have to, if you wanted to get another 72 hours, you have to put it in for Ktsas Shah. Okay, Prim Gadim says what that means is Ktsas, because the Taz also brings these words. Prim Gadim says Ktsas Shah means half an hour. Okay, so that means that you have to, wrong page, you need to soak the meat for half an hour in order if you wanted to get your 72 hours more. And that is implied, it's not clear, but it's implied in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you want to have it extended, you said imsharu, so mayim, then you get another 72 hours. And sharu means to soak, which again, he's not telling you how long it's for, but the implication is that it's a soaking rather than just a pouring water onto it. And a number of the more prominent Achronim follow this. Dr. Chu has a long list of people who think like this. But at the same time, there were other Achronim, some of the less famous Achronim, who held that it's enough just to pour water on all the different sides. You have to pour it on every side, but as long as you get water onto all the parts, that's okay. This dichotomy between do you have to soak it? Seemingly, many of the Gedolei Achronim thought that you have to soak it, but other people in practice were not soaking. They were just rinsing it, washing it with water. Comes out in the Aruch HaShulchan. First, he brings a whole number of Achronim who think of the Taz and the Shah and the Mechaber as saying that you need to do it for it has to be soaked. But then he says that seemingly washing should be enough. But he says, but Lamaisa, he says, I see that lots of places they just rinse it well and they don't soak the water. We complain about the Rabbonim complain with people that say you're not doing the right thing and people pay no attention. In other words, the minute people were following was to just to rinse it. And he says, listen, okay, so in other words, there are some Achronim who held that it's okay, and there were those who were some Achronim that. And back to here in the United States, in fact, that's what many people did decades ago. That's what people used to do. And they used to do it, but seemingly the reason they were doing it is because of a practical reason, to say. The logistics of meat used to be transported long distances before melicha was done to it. The melicha happened at the end of the route. And to try to take, a dozen or dozens of sides of beef and soak them while the truck is on the road is not such a realistic possibility. You didn't have much choice but to try to wash it down, to wash the meat. and as I mentioned, even then, people didn't do such a great job. There were people who just, spritz a little on the outside and hope for the best and try to, get as much as they could out of it. As I mentioned, some of them were mitzarif. They said, oh, it's refrigerated, oh, it's covered, oh, there's only the outside one that's exposed to the air. But as I mentioned, those are not real. The Achronim do not agree with those coolers. So basically, they were not doing a very good job. But nowadays, aside from the fact that we try to do a better job, Lamai says, in most cases, the melicha is done at the shechita, or it's done in a factory-type setting. So if we get messed up and for some reason it has to sit for more than 3 days, it's more realistic. And in fact, that's what they do. They will soak the meat for half an hour, or at least for half an hour, as a way to extend the 3 days in those cases where they feel like they need to do that. Now, once a situation came up where Shechita had started on a Monday morning in Colorado. It started at 9:53 a.m. And then about 200 kosher lamb were shechted. 200 of the lamb that was shechted came out kosher. And the meat was being shipped to New Jersey, where it was going to have nicker and melicha to it. And because of delays, whatever delays came up, it showed up in New Jersey at 11:57 a.m. Now, Jersey's on Eastern time, as opposed to Colorado is on Mountain time. So the meat was essentially 4 minutes late. The shechita started at 9:53 in Colorado on Monday, and here it is now on Thursday, coming on Thursday on 11:57, which is 72 hours and 4 minutes after the shechita had started. So obviously there's a question, what are we going to do? It's 4 minutes late. What should we do with it? So before they did anything, they put all the meat into water to soak it as a way of saying, listen, at least opening up a possibility of extending the time. And spoke to a priest asking what they should do. They had this meat that was 4 months late. There was 200, lamb that were needed to be, have nikra melicha done to them. So Rabbi said that it was okay to be menaka and to do melicha to this meat. And he said like this. His the main reason for that was because, if you think about it, only some of the lamb had missed, were not in the water in time. And that's because shechita started at 9:53, and this whole lot was marked as shechita happened on Monday at 9:53, but the truth is that only some of those, it took 2 hours to shecht all those land, or maybe even longer. So in the how many of them were shechted before 9:57 in Colorado? A handful, 5, 10. How many of them could have been shechted in those couple of minutes? So the truth is that by putting them into the water at 11:57, the majority of But the majority of the animals were animals that were put in time, and they were suitable for Melicha. So it's an example of a din, the Shulchan Aruch brings, that says, what happens if a person has meat which didn't have Melicha, mixing with the meat that did have Melicha? In our case, it's a little different. Here, it's meat that can't have Melicha, mixing with meat that can have Melicha, but the same idea, which is meat that had Melicha, mixing to meat which did not have Melicha, mixing to meat which did have Melicha. And the din is that it's batel b'roiv. So in our case, for sure, the roiv of the animals are ones that are still suitable for melicha, and therefore they could be batel. We don't consider the chaticha ruilus kabid or davar shaminyan. And the reason for that is because they're not chaticha ruilus kabid davar shaminyan, because those rules of things that can't be batel because they're so significant or so important only applies when the iser is the thing itself. But when the iser is the chaticha ruilus kabid, in our case, the blood is the thing that's usher. Blood is not chaticha ruilus kabid, and blood is not davar shaminyan. So the blood is the part that would be batel. The animal, the meat per se, is kosher. The chaticha ruilus kabid, what's potentially a chaticha ruilus kabid, is not the iser, and therefore it can be batel. Now, in davar shaminyan matirin, the Rama holds that davar shaminyan matirin has the same rule, that it has to be something which is neser machos hatzma, it's actually inherently usher. So he would hold this is not davar shaminyan matirin either, because again, the meat is mutter, it's only usher because there's blood mixed into it. The Shas does not agree with that. The Shas says that davar shaminyan matirin doesn't need that rule. Davar shaminyan matirin is not batel because you should just eat it b'heter, asher techlenu b'iser techlenu b'heter. But he has a different reason why it's mutter in this case, and that is because what would be the way to eat this b'heter? The way to eat this b'heter is to broil it, to get the blood out through broiling. He says, well, broiling was mutter even before this happened. Before even when we knew which one was the iser. So now that there's a taruvus, what you want to say is, can I have it beheta? Can I have it through salting the same way? No, I can't do that unless I rely on that only for it's not it's not the devastation material. Okay, other things that were worth considering in this case also, that are included in his heter. That, again, that was the main reason, because it was batel. But the other reasons to include were the fact that, first of all, is at a slaughterhouse, after the shechita, then they take off the hide, and then they has to get checked from bodegas and by the USDA. When it's all ready to go into the cooler, it gets washed down. That's about a half an hour after the shechita happens. That washing potentially qualifies as a soaking or as a washing, which might be good enough to extend the 72 hours. That in itself to extend the 72 hours. And secondly, is that while the meat sits overnight, the first night when it's being chilled down to refrigerated temperatures, there's a mist of water spraying it, and it's a very small amount of water. But in total, there's quite a lot of water gets sprayed onto the meat, and potentially that could be counted to be saying that that's also as if it was soaked through that also. So those are reasons to think that maybe the 72 hours was within the 72 hours for all the meat. Okay. Now, let me move to a different kind of question, and that is like this. We've been talking all along, we're in Hilchos Melicha, talking all about having 3 days for Melicha. That you have 3 days, and if you soak it, you get another 72 hours for Melicha. But in Hilchos Chelev, this is in Hilchos Melicha. In Hilchos Chelev, the Rama says that v'chatchila, a person should do nikkur within 3 days after the Shechita, but by the Eved, if he didn't, then the animal's kosher on you. Okay, he doesn't. That's a din very similar to our din, but he says that din also. And over there, he doesn't say whether it would help to soak the meat. If you soak it, does that help you extend, get you another 3 days, or does it not? We have a question. Nikkur happens before Melicha. So if the Rama says you need to do the nikkur within 3 days of the Shechita, well, that means that obviously the Melicha didn't happen within 3 days of the Shechita either. So, if you didn't do the nikkur yet, you couldn't have done the melicha. So, why is Rama focusing on the fact that you need to do the nikkur within 3 days? Well, do you have to do because of the melicha? You have to do it. Why is he giving us like this new din about nikkur has to be done within 3 days when there's a more significant din, which is that the melicha has to happen? There are two basic answers to that question. Why do we care about the nikkur when we have to worry about the melicha? The way the Shach learned, as the later Achronim explains, the Nachas Tzvi explains it, is is that what happened in this case is, it must be that the meat was soaked during those 3 days. I mean, let's say 2 days into it, the meat was soaked, and therefore you have plenty of time for the melicha. You're way past the time that you need to. You have plenty of time to do melicha. Even so, what I'm saying is that you need to do nikkur within 3 days, which is to say, is according to the way this shach, according to the way the shach, as explained by the Nachas Tzvi and all about the Yad Yehuda, they're saying is that even though you soaked it and you have more time for melicha, you don't get more time for nikkur. Nikkur soaking does not extend the time that you have to do nikkur for. It only extends the amount of time you have to do melicha. But again, but the end, if it took too long, then if you did after 3 days, but the end is okay also. Yeah, the Yad Yehuda comes in from a different angle. He's like, what would be the reason? What would be the reason why? Why do you think you need to have nikkur done within 3 days? What would be the reason why it should have to happen? Sort of like with the dam, the reason why the dam has to, why you have to have the melicha happen within 3 days is because if not, the blood will dry out and it won't come out with the melicha. But in nikkur, what would be the problem? You're going to cut everything out anyhow. You're going to cut out the fat out of the animal. So what's the difference if it dries out or gets hard? Why does that make a difference to anybody if that happens? Why should we care and they have to get that within 3 days? So the Yad Yehuda says that the Lavush understands that the reason why you have to get the meat, you have to do the nikkur within 3 days is because the fat will also harden in the animal. Excuse me. And you could get it out, but it will make the job that much harder. It'll be very hard to get out to do the delicate work, the trabering that you have to do, which everyone's used to doing when the meat has a certain softness to it, and the fat has a certain softness to it. If it hardens and it'll be too hard to get out, and you won't be effective at doing the trabering that you need to do that. So it's a very similar point to why you have to soak the meat before melicha, to keep the meat, the blood from drying out. So too, we want to keep the fat from drying out, and that's why we have to do nikkur within 3 days also. It's the same kind of a reason, and therefore, according to Lavush, if you soak it, that gives you another 3 days for nikkur also. So when the Rama said that the person, you should do nikkur within 3 days, and the Rama said you should do nikkur within 3 days, that meant is, if you don't soak it, but if you soak it, that's fine, and that helps you extend the 3 days. You have a choice then to extend the 3 days to the nikkur also. And the Yehuda thinks that the Lavush is correct. He says that you could be makel like the Lavush. Again, the Lavush is coming out to be a kula. Now, according to the Lavush, if you soak the meat, then you get an extra 3 days that even a chatchila you're allowed to do to the nikkur. While according to the Shach, even if you soak the meat, you're allowed to do the melicha, but the nikkur is only b'diavad to do the melicha now. Okay, so sort of we could say from the fact that that's what happens in practice. If the meat hasn't had melicha, hasn't had nikkur or melicha for and it's coming close to 3 days, they soak it and they extend the time. So the melicha is lechatchila to do now melicha after this time. To do nikkur, we sort of consider it lechatchila. They do that, no problem, you're allowed to do that. It implies, like the Lefush says, like the Yad Yehuda, that soaking extends the time for nikkur also. Okay, one last thing to speak about, and that is, I keep telling you, that I mentioned a few times actually, is that if you don't catch the meat within 3 days, you don't do melicha within 3 days, the only way to eat the meat afterwards is to do tzliya, to broil the meat. Broil the meat gets out the blood also. That's the only way to eat the meat. Once you broil the meat and get the blood out, you're not allowed to cook the meat. You're only allowed to do tzliya. You're not allowed to cook the meat after. If you did, the meat is mutar b'diavad, but l'chatchila, you're not allowed to cook the meat. Now, there's a machlokes, when we get to livers, we'll talk about it. There's a machlokes, whether this rule applies to livers. For purposes of right now, we'll assume that it does apply to livers, the same kind of rules. Now I'll put that on the side for a second. The Rama says that since if you do the melicha after if you wait for 3 days to do the melicha, you will not be allowed to do melicha. You will never be allowed to cook this piece of meat. You will not be allowed to cook it. You'll have to do tzliya, and you will not be able to cook it afterwards. Therefore, a person should not leave that meat around, because if you leave the meat around, you may forget. And normal meat, you cash it with salting, and then you cook it afterwards. And this meat, you're not allowed to do that. So people will forget, you know, make a mistake, and therefore, lechatchila, you're not allowed to hold the meat afterwards, and you have to kasher it either before 3 days, or I guess when you catch it, you right away kasher it before you shouldn't have a tekel. So, on that, the Pesach Yeshua says that this problem, this chashash tekela, never applies when something is going to be mutter b'dieved. And therefore, he says, in the case of liver, this chashash tekela doesn't apply. And the reason is because in liver, in a regular piece, I mean, if we have a regular piece of steak, then we have to be concerned if we don't, if it's now 3 days have passed, someone's going to assume that they kasher like every other piece and they're going to put it into salt. But you're not allowed to do this piece of meat. But for piece, liver is anyhow never kashered by melicha. Liver is always kashered through broiling. So there's no question that the way the person is going to kasher this meat is through broiling. Now, what will happen? Maybe he'll kasher it with broiling and then he'll cook it afterwards, not realizing that this meat had been held for 3 days. Okay, but the evidence will be, as I mentioned, but the evidence will be mutter anyhow. If you broil it and then you cook it afterwards, but the evidence is mutter anyhow. So there's no chashash takala. We don't have to worry about takala when something is mutter, but the evidence anyhow, only when it will still be asal chatchila. So for a regular piece of meat, you can't hold it because the person might cook it, in which case the person might cook it. But in the case of the liver, that's okay because we know that he's going to do tzliya. And once he does tzliya, the kasher, then even if you cook it, it will be mutter. And Rav Schwartz had said the same thing in a similar vein, a similar point, which was like this. Circe will not, if we have livers which were broiled more than 3 days after the Shechita, which is pretty common, more than 3 days after the Shechita, then we will not allow that meat in a Circe establishment would not be cooked and served as a cooked food. Even if the liver had been frozen during the 3 days, before the 3 days ended. So, if you hold that it's frozen, if you have those who will make up that frozen meat would say this was not even 3 days. And even those who are not make up that frozen meat would say it was broiled. Once it was broiled, some hold it for a liver, I mentioned, some hold it for liver, you're allowed to cook it in your, but seriously places will not do that. But even so, if we have livers that are broiled raw, when we used to allow them to sell raw livers, they can be sold even if they're more than 3 days. What about the problem? There's a, maybe the person will broil it and then he'll cook it, not realizing that it's more than 3 days. That's okay, because in this case, again, we know he's going to broil it, so once he broils it, the fact that he might cook it afterwards is not a problem, because b'dievet, that would be mutter, it would be mutter b'dievet, so we don't have to worry about the chashash takala for the food, which will be mutter b'dievet.